of the key considerations. Thank you.
Councillor Tillotson.
Thank you, Chair. Just could you go back to the site plan? I've got a couple of questions and I think that might be easiest. I noticed for the first time we've got some one-bed affordable homes. What are they and where are they? Are they houses or are they maisonettes? What sort of accommodation are they? And my second question is just for clarification. I nearly asked in the very first report we had. Those to the east of this plan, we've got houses running round at the bottom, round a blank area, and then there's another blank area above. What are those areas?
The affordable units are those that are shown coloured on the plan again. There are, across the face, there are some maisonettes and there are also some houses or flats above garages, and that's predominantly how the one-bed element is made up. The area that you're talking about here, that's the area where the primary school will go. And then there's another blank area, if you like, up here, which is where ultimately a local centre will be built out.
Councillor Snart.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. If I go to page 115, building heights, do we have a slide with that on, which is the boundary zones where this height is reduced to 8.5 metres? So just to get an idea of what that is. And are there any two-and-a-half-storey houses on here or any higher than two-storey?
I don't have a slide with the parameters plan on. I can show you the parameters plan in the design and access statement if that would be helpful. But the houses, the height of the houses within all of the developments has been assessed because it has to fall below certain heights above ground, or above the ground level, to be acceptable in terms of the parameters. Now, as a broad indication, most of the phase is pretty much two-storey. There might be some two-and-a-half storeys, but around the sensitive edges where the height parameter is lower, all those units are two-storey because they have to be to meet with that height parameter.
Just ask, do we know how many two-and-a-half storey there are on there?
I don't know the answer to that directly. I mean, I could find out and come back to you, but I don't have that figure to hand.
Councillor Grimley.
Thank you, Chair. I mean, it's just on all the applications we've had tonight for the HEP reserve matters, which I not mentioned earlier, really is the design of the housing is very good, and it gives the settlement a sort of unique character which will differentiate from other areas in the locality. I just want to commend officers on that.
Councillor Tassel.
On this development and on this phase and on the other development phases, there's been no children's play areas. Now, are there any provided? Because I can't see any, and I don't think it's been mentioned tonight. Children's play areas.
I think Councillor Miss Brightman will listen, but on the first application we looked at, the neeps and the leaps were pointed out to us. Well, Miss Brightman will explain, but they were pointed out to us on the first application we looked at.
Yeah, the first application that we looked at tonight included all the green infrastructure, so that was the play areas. Luckily, I'll just go back to where I was. On this particular layout, this is the neighbourhood play area, and this up here, although they fall outside of this application site, this is the local or the play area for younger children. And then there's obviously there were some playing pitches and so forth that aren't on this particular slide. Plus, over the SUE as a whole, there are a lot of play facilities. There is a requirement that there are a number of local play facilities and neighbourhood play facilities.
I'm rather concerned that play areas yet again are being put on the outskirts of development. This one in particular is on the outskirts with no houses around it. This is something that we've been trying over the borough to avoid, for children being away from houses, and that one is away, or it looks away on that map.
I think
it may not be, but
no, I think
it does
the
look
officers want it.
Can I just remind you that this is one parcel in a much bigger development. So whilst it might look on the edge of this particular parcel, it forms a much bigger development. And also you will notice that there's housings facing onto this play park. So it's not behind houses, it's not in an area that's not overlooked. There's lots of natural surveillance, which is something that will be sought and has been ensured is the case on all the play areas in the area. So that's what you considered in the first application of the green infrastructure. You saw that those green fingers went between all of the house different housing parcels.
Councillor Lowe.
Thank you, Chair. Can you tell where the affordable house is on that application, on that planning layout? Is it blue?
Blue and green.
If I can make a comment then, Chair, there's a lot more than 20 houses there in blue along this bottom edge. I would consider that as clustering.
It isn't more than 20, because we've obviously counted those and looked at those, and it's also... It's possible that there could be two parcels served off different accesses. So that's how we look at clustering. But our affordable housing officer has looked at all these layouts. And in fact, this is one of the layouts where the affordable houses were moved around a little bit to avoid a clustering. So I'm confident that this meets with her requirement, and that it's difficult to count it here on this very small slide. But no, there isn't a cluster that exceeds 20 within this layout.
It just worries me there, Chair, that you've got nearly a full street full of affordable housing. That's what I'm seeing there. That might not be the case. It just worries me. And I know developers want to move away from affordable housing because obviously it costs them. And you do find, sadly, that some people don't want to buy houses near affordable housing for sad reasons. And that just concerns me. But, if that's the policy that Charnwood have set, then there's nothing I could do about that. So, therefore, I agree with the officer's recommendation, subject to the additions.
Wanted to come in?
I was going to second it. Okay. Don't worry, Councillor Savage has seconded.
Right.
The one question I have got, Madam Chair, is actually, I see on page 86 with the transport, sustainability promotion, section 9, are the builders and ourselves, or is it the County Council, going to be in liaison with the local transport people, bus people, in other words, to make sure there is going to be some sort of transport in there if you're going to have children and if you're going to have affordable housing, and not all affordable housing people can afford cars, and it's going to be on the perimeter of Thermiston and Barkby and all the rest of it to get the children to school. It's just a query, that's all.
Oh yes, but because obviously everybody would want to get. Well, no, But also, no, but there is in the report somewhere, I can't see it at the moment, where it says a bus again. But, yes, it is part of the arrangement. So we have a proposer and a seconder. Would you like that further clarification about this?
Just to clarify, within the Section 106 agreement, there is a bus strategy set out, and that service has to be provided initially half-hourly by a trigger that's by 100 dwellings. 175 dwellings, sorry. Yeah, and that increases as the number of dwellings goes up, so that it becomes a quarter-hourly provision. Prior to that first trigger being reached, it's my understanding that a click service will be put on, which is basically a demand-based service, and that will follow a bus loop that, as has been stated already, runs through the site or through the phase.
Okay, if I could... we've had a proposer and a seconder to accept officers' recommendations, as in your paper and on the extras. Can I see a show of hands, please? Thank you.
Yep. That was a unanimous vote in favour of recommendation.
Thank you. Everybody, we're now moving on to page 130. Oh, there's a movement. We'll just let some of the people clear the chamber. So thank you very much for your patience, everybody, in the public gallery. Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you. This is on page 131, planning application number P192111/2. And Louise, you're going to present this to us. Thank you.
Thank you. This application is referred to the Plans Committee under the terms of the Council's Constitution, as it is a departure from the development plan. Members are referred to pages 10 and 11 of the extras report in the consideration of this application also. So the site is situated outside of any defined limits to development and within the open countryside. The nearest settlement is Barrow upon Soar. Here we've got an aerial photograph of the site and the barn, which is subject to this proposal. You hopefully can just make out sort of that L-shaped building there. And the existing farmhouse belonging to the farm is the detached building, which is situated to the south, just here. The nearest public highway is Nottingham Road to the west. Members will recall from the visit today, this is the view of the site that you get from the public highway with the barns just along here that we saw. The existing barn building is of mainly brick and tile construction, although there are areas with a corrugated roof. It's in an L-shaped form. This is the elevation that you see from the public areas from Nottingham Road, whereas these elevations are facing internally into the courtyard area of the existing farm. We've got the existing plans as at the moment. The proposal is to extend and convert the barn to form a residential dwelling. The external alterations are proposed are the raising of the roof height of the building by approximately 40 centimetres, a small extension to the northern elevation, which will be on the inside of the courtyard area, and the provision of additional windows and door openings. Internally, the dividing walls will be erected to form the individual rooms. There is a private courtyard garden area and some parking proposed as part of the plan. The key issues in the consideration of the application are as set out in the main report. With regards to the principle of development, as set out on pages 138 and 139 of the report, the provision of the new dwelling in this location would not normally be supported by the development plan. However, the provisions of the general permitted development order is a significant mitigating factor in this case. Members are referred to the background information on this set out in pages 131 to 132 of the report. The general permitted development order makes provision for the conversion of agricultural buildings to residential dwellings under the prior notification procedure. The residential use of the building has already been approved under this procedure in December 2019. The current proposal before members seeks consent for the proposed alterations to the building along with the change of use. This is because the general permitted development order does not allow for external alterations to agricultural buildings which are going to be converted. So whilst the provision of the new dwelling in this location would not normally be accepted, given the previous grant of prior approval for the use, it is considered that in this case the principle of the development should be accepted. With regards to design and the impact on the open countryside, as set out in pages 139 to 140 of the report, it is considered that the proposed extensions and alterations are acceptable and are sympathetic with the building and would have no significant impact on the character and appearance of the surrounding countryside. With regards to residential amenities, as discussed on page 140 to 141, the impact on the amenity of the existing farmhouse has been assessed, and it is considered that there is no significant harm caused to the existing farmhouse. With regards to highways, the application has been assessed under the highways design guidance, and it is considered that the proposal complies with this guidance and will have no adverse impact on the safe operation of the highway. Members are therefore invited to grant planning permission in accordance with the recommendation set out on pages 144 to 147 of the main report, subject to the recommendations set out in the extras report. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can I invite Mr. Cooper to come? Thank you very much, Mr. Cooper. And you understand the light system and everything.
Right.
And the time will start when you start.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Nick Cooper, Director of HSSP Architects Limited in Melton Mowbray. We've worked with our client, Mrs. Pepper, on several projects over the years, most notably the new build facility known as Pepper's Barn in Burton-on-the-Wolds, providing respite care for families with disabled and terminally ill relatives. Mrs. Pepper's own daughter, Sam, is physically disabled, but acts as manager to the farm business. The remit of this application is to provide a purpose-designed accommodation for Sam and her carer, residing on the farm itself, close to the business. We put together a strategy to attempt to secure approval for Sam's long-term care, firstly gaining the Class Q approval already just outlined for conversion of the barn into a dwelling, followed swiftly by an application to extend the building to provide additional width to provide circulation for her motorised wheelchair. The existing barn just doesn't provide enough width to accommodate this. As Mrs. Pepper has been ill, we had hoped that the approvals would be issued in December, allowing the project to be implemented without delay. Unfortunately, with this being brought to committee, the process has been delayed. Sadly, Mrs. Pepper passed away on Friday. The principle of residential conversion has already been accepted. The extensions that we've outlined are required for the specific needs of our client's daughter. Located on the inside of the courtyard, the additions are not visible from any vantage point. The appearance and context of the barn are not compromised at all. I'm speaking here tonight, as I promised Mrs. Pepper that I would do so, and we have committed to implement her wishes to secure her daughter's long-term care future. I do hope that you will confirm your officer's recommendation to approve this application this evening. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cooper. Mrs. Tassel.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Well, the gentleman speaker actually confirmed the questions that I was going to ask, that it was ongoing to keep the business going. Under the circumstances, I do send my condolences to Mrs. Pepper's family, but it doesn't make any difference to my decision tonight, which is to go with the ROC officer's recommendation, and I would like to propose that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Ransom.
Sorry, Madam Chair, I was going to second. That's what I put my name forward for. So, but never mind. This is an admirable situation. It's a very sad situation for the family, and I do convey my condolences to the family, and I do believe that the daughter needs this facility because of her disability. Thank you.
I think we all agree, and we would like, if you could pass that on to the family, please, for us. But I think also we can be reassured, having seen the previous work that the late Mrs. Pepper did, and this will be an amazing facility for many years to come. But thank you. So it's been proposed and seconded. Could we have a show of hands?
Yep, unanimous vote in favour of the recommendation.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your patience. Right, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I'm just... right. Right, we move on to the... I've lost my piece of paper now. Here it is. Page 149. Right, page 149. And who's taking this one? Louise, thank you.
Thank you. The final item this evening is the stables on School Lane in Old Woodhouse. The development is for the conversion of a stable building to a residential dwelling. The existing stables are located to the western end of School Lane, and this application is reported to the Plans Committee in accordance with the Council's scheme of subdelegation to the Heads of Service, embedded within the Constitution, as the applicant is a serving member of the Council. Part of the application site is within the designated conservation area. If members are able to make out, it's the access, and then the boundary of the conservation area runs along the side of the existing stable building, which is located here. There are also a number of listed buildings within the locality of the application site as well. These are highlighted in purple on the plan. So we've got an aerial photograph of the site here where members would just be able to see the roof of the stable building with the access that goes onto School Lane here. We've got the neighbouring property of number 46 and number 48 to the either side. The access to the application site is a shared access with number 46 at the present time. to provide a bit of context to the application, there are a number of applications being considered by the local planning authority at the present time for some equestrian buildings on the site which have been erected. These are retrospective planning applications, and they will be presented to the Plans Committee in the future once the relevant considerations have been made. Members would have seen these buildings today on the during the site visit, but just wanted to give you some context to the use of the site in general. So the existing stable building is generally of stone tile and render construction, and currently provides three stables, a utility room and toilet facilities. There is a history of refusals in respect to the conversion of stables to dwelling houses on this site, which have gone to appeal, and the appeals have been dismissed. The details of that are set out in the main committee report. So, as previously said, the proposal is to convert the stable building into a dwelling. This would involve minor external works to replace existing openings with glazed screens, windows and doors. Internally, the walls would be dry-lined with new partitions constructed to separate the room. There is a new residential curtilage proposed, which would be limited to the red outline plan as shown on the first slide. Car parking is also provided adjacent to the building, along with a private garden area for the dwelling as well. New mixed hedges are also proposed to separate the parking area from the garden and dwelling and to the western boundary of the field. With regards to the key considerations in the application, these are set out in the main report. The main one is the principle of the development. Woodhouse is identified as a small village or hamlet within the core strategy, and as such is considered to be an unsuitable location for new residential development. There is no identified local need for housing, which may weigh in favour of the development. The applicant, in documents accompanying the application, contends that the use of the building as a dwelling would effectively generate fewer vehicle movements to and from the site than the existing stables building, but there is evidence to suggest that the exercising of horses and stabling of horses will continue alongside the dwelling, and therefore it is considered that the residential traffic would be in addition to what is already there. In the absence of public transport alternatives, the inevitable reliance on the private car for domestic journeys would be contrary to national and local policies, which seek to both reduce vehicle movements, primarily by ensuring development is appropriately located. In addition, policy CT1 of the local plan sets out the types of rural development which would be acceptable in principle. This development does not meet any of those criteria. It's therefore considered the proposal would fail to comply with the policies set out in the development plan and is not acceptable in principle. The application and the impact on heritage has been considered, and whilst the building itself is outside of the conservation area, part of the new residential curtilage and the access would still be within it. It is acknowledged that the position and design of the existing building are such that they make little contribution to the character and appearance of the conservation area, and it is therefore considered that there would be no harm to the significance of the conservation area or the setting of the nearby listed buildings. Further consideration is the impact on residential amenities. The existing boat building occupies a backland setting where neighbouring dwellings opposite space occupy spacious and tranquil plots. The impact of the development on the residential amenities of nearby properties has been considered as an important factor by planning inspectors on the previous appeals for the site. And this situation is not considered to have changed significantly in the intervening years. Whilst the proposal is just for one dwelling, the impact on the intensification of the now shared ownership access and the possible introduction of additional noise, lighting and general disturbance with the comings and goings, along with garden activities associated with residential occupancy is a concern. It is considered that the proposal would not result in significant loss of privacies, but the increased use of the access would result in increased noise and disturbance to neighbouring properties. In addition to this, there is also a concern over the size of the dwelling to be provided. it falls quite short of the minimum internal standards that we seek to encourage through the provision of new developments, which are encouraged through the national design standards that we have. So there is that concern as well. With regards to highways and car parking, the development provides an adequate number of car parking and utilises the existing access. It's therefore not considered to be unacceptable in highway terms. We've also considered ecology, and the application was accompanied by an ecological appraisal, which the council senior ecologist has reviewed and confers with the findings of the report, and that no further survey work is required. Members are therefore invited to refuse the planning permission in accordance with the recommendations set out in pages 161 to 163 of the agenda, subject to the recommendations set out in the extras report. Those recommendations for refusal cover the principle of the development in this location, the impact on the amenities of the existing occupiers of the neighbouring properties, and the lack of amenity for the future residents of the building. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Having listened to the report and being out on site today, can I propose officer's recommendation, please?
I think we should go with officer's recommendation and refuse. It's a very narrow site. If we allow the conversion, the rooms, particularly the bedrooms, would be extremely small. And there's a long drive, there's a house at the side. I understand that would be a shared drive. Hate shared drives. Let's go with officer's recommendation. Yeah, second that.
Proposed by Councillor Grimley, seconded by Councillor Forrest, that we accept officer's recommendation. Could I see a show of hands, please?
Yeah, so unanimous vote in favour of accepting recommendation and therefore the application refused.
We haven't quite finished. We're closed now. Can I just finish the meeting? As always, on page 164 to 181 are the lists of applications determined under delegated powers from the last meeting. There is a date on it, which I have got. For the period from 9th of December to the 17th of January. So you've got all the information there. If you want to find out, as always, if you want to find out reasons and what it was all decided, just look up the planning application on Planning Explorer. Can I thank you all very much indeed for your attendance? It was a quite difficult meeting today. We had to discuss things that isn't in our, we normally do, but thank you very much indeed, and safe journey home.